With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Serval Electric Cincy 360, about Cincinnati, from Cincinnati. Sponsored in part by Serval Electric. For all of your home, business, or industrial electrical repairs or projects, call Serval Electric. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station. Here's James Rapine and Mo Egger.
Here we are. Well, sort of. Mo out today, but we have a ton to get to over the next 60 minutes. It is great to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. I am James Rapine. Shout out to Serval, by the way. If you need electric work done, call them, and they'll get you taken care of. A lot to get to. You're going to hear from Jesse Bates in this segment. You're going to hear from Dave Lapham and Dan Horton in this segment. We're going to go to Kansas City in about 25 minutes. And we've talked a lot about Vontaze Burfict this week. I've reached the end of it. The end of it. I told myself I was not going to lead the show with Vontaze Burfict, and I'm not. But in 20 minutes, an example of national media reaching to condemn Vontaze Burfict, number 55. We will talk about that and so much more. Plus, the ALCS yesterday. Is it a home run? Is it not? I have no idea how the hell he was out. We will talk about that coming up as well. But I want to start with the 4-2 Bengals because they're 4-2. They're in first place. And Mo said it yesterday on the show. It doesn't feel like that there are two first place teams playing each other on Sunday. Heck, 2 minutes ago, I got a tweet that said, oh yeah, Bengals going to lose 52-28. It doesn't feel like anyone's giving the Bengals a chance on Sunday night. And that's fine, and I'm not going to come on here and say, oh, the Bengals are going to win, because let's be honest, it's a really tough task, really tall task to go to Kansas City and win when they're not that good, much tougher when they might be the best team in the AFC. Here's what I'll say, though. Despite their 4-2 start, despite the offense being sixth in the NFL in points scored, despite the huge win that I witnessed in Atlanta with the game on the line, all of these things have happened. Andy Dalton's playing very, very well at a high level right now. And I mean, when's the last time you heard, besides them scoring too fast, us say anything bad about Andy Dalton? He's playing great right now. Despite Bill Lazor, for the most part, and I was critical of his usage of Joe Mixon last Sunday, overall, over six games, I think he's done a pretty good job as Bengals offensive coordinator. New playbook, I like it. They're great in the red zone. They're the best team in the NFL in the red zone right now. So there's a lot of things to like about these Bengals. But I'm totally with you. Everyone that's doubting the Bengals after their 4-2 start, based on what they saw on Sunday, totally get it. Totally understand it. Why? Because the Bengals lost the benefit of the doubt. Equity gone. And they lost it on January 2nd. When the Bengals opted, and when Mike Brown decided to bring back Marvin Lewis, there was no equity built up. There was no benefit of the doubt. There was no, oh, well, at least there. No. It's been 16 years now. Marvin Lewis has been the head coach since 2003. I was 12 years old when he was hired. 27 now. Think about that. Think about that. He's been the coach for the Bengals for the majority of my life. You think anyone near my age is giving him the benefit of the doubt? You think anyone that remembers the 88 Super Bowl team is giving a guy who hasn't won a playoff game yet the benefit of the doubt? So, despite the 4-2 start, even though they're in first place in the AFC North, even though they had a big win in primetime against the Ravens, all of the problems that you were concerned about going into the year with Marvin Lewis, they came into play on Sunday against the Steelers. One, not being able to beat Pittsburgh has been an issue for the past 16 years. Two, clock management has been an issue for the past 16 years. Three, taking risks and going for it on fourth down, especially in today's NFL, it's something you do when you're in the opponent's territory, especially going up against an offense like the Steelers, which was averaging 28-plus points per game going into Sunday. All of the issues that you had with Marvin came out in a big moment, in a big stage, when they could have buried the Steelers. So I don't blame anyone. Not a soul in Cincinnati that doesn't give the Bengals the benefit of the doubt, that doesn't back them going into Sunday, that questions everything after what happened last week at Paul Brown Stadium. It makes complete sense because the equity that was built up, whatever equity was there over the past 2 years when they hadn't made the playoffs, over 15-plus years, everything Marvin had built up was cashed in, and it was a fresh start. But it's the same face, it's the same perception, and all of the flaws, all of the things that you saw and have seen over the past decade and a half from Marvin Lewis, all the negatives came out in one way or the other on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't blame you one damn bit for questioning this team moving forward. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. You can tweet me at James Erpine. I'll get to your calls as well at 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. Bengals safety Jesse Bates coming up in a few minutes. But one thing that going into the year I said I would know within 5 days, the Bengals started at Indy, then 4 days later they had to play Thursday night football against the Baltimore Ravens. I said the verdict would be in on Bill Lazor. And it was. He passed with flying colors. Had an A-plus, I'd say, through the first two games, easy. He had his worst game as offensive coordinator this season. I don't count last year, I just don't. It's a new playbook, it's his playbook, it's his team, it's his squad. And it's him calling the plays, and it's finally his system. His worst game of the year was Sunday against Pittsburgh. He did not use Joe Mixon enough. And I've said it, and I've had some people push back, and I've had some people go back and forth on this. Joe Mixon should have gotten the ball more, and the Bengals offensive line struggled a little bit. And this morning, and I always listen to this podcast, the Bengals Booth podcast, Dan Hoard, Dave Lapham, comes up twice a week, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. It's really good stuff. You can subscribe to it anywhere you get your podcast. And I'm listening to Dan and Lap talk. And anytime you have an opinion and then Lap backs it up, you know you're probably right. Here's Dave Lapham on the offensive line struggles and why the play calling played a huge role in it and why Joe Mixon should have gotten more carries. Here's Lap on the Bengals Booth podcast.
I think part of it, as a former lineman, is the run-pass imbalance. You know, when you're running it 12 like times like they did, 12, 13 times and throwing it over 40, that's tough. They're teeing off. On first down, I just rechecked my play-by-play sheet. Threw it 25 times and ran it twice on 27 first downs. And I'm counting them all. Penalty, whatever the case may be, the call was a pass. That's hard. That's hard when you're pass protecting that much. And the two runs, one of them, Joe Mixon gashed for 13 yards. It's not like Joe Mixon ran the ball efficiently. Mark Walton had problems, but Joe Mixon was gashing them. In my opinion, with Le'Veon Bell and the situation he's in, Joe Mixon's the best running back in the division. The best running back in the division. Give him the football. Put it in his belly. Throw it to him. Give it to him in space. Utilize that talent. And then it's a hell of a lot easier to pass protect when you have Joe Mixon doing his thing. Then pass protection becomes less of an issue. There's in my mind, there's no question about it. I think that they self-inflicted issues with play selection. Not to say that the defense, you know, hasn't been bringing pressures and doing the things they're doing, but the Bengals are exacerbating the problem with their play selection.
Hard to argue that. Hard to defend a team that gets 4 yards in a quarter. If they only get 4 yards in a quarter on Sunday, they will lose by double digits. Easily. And it's just, to me, it makes no sense to not give Mixon. And does anyone disagree that Mixon is the second best running back in this division? He's got more talent than James Conner. I think that's pretty obvious. Conner got the ball more on Sunday. All of these issues that we saw on Sunday, and it goes back to Marvin and equity and trusting this team or not trusting it. It's not there. As good as Bill Lazor was through 5 weeks, you see the same issues, partially because of injuries and partially because what? Why are you struggling to get Joe Mixon the ball? Outside of A.J. Green, Joe Mixon is your best weapon on offense. Mixon, being a running back, especially given your offensive line issues, like Lap said, should get the most touches on offense. Period. That goes for Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs will score 1,000 points on you if you throw it 25 times on first down and run it twice, like Lapp said. How about that? And I get it. You want to take advantage of a weak Steelers secondary. That was the game plan? Hey, Andy, you're going to have to throw it 25 times on first down. We're going to have to trust Bobby Hart against TJ Watt. We're going to put Alex Redmond in a situation to pass block 25 out of 27 first downs. And you don't expect him to give up pressures? To me, it's the simplest thing. And going into Kansas City this Sunday, if you expect this defense that's going to be without Darqueze Dennard, that's going to be without Nick Vigil, that who knows what they're going to get from Vontaze Burfict. I still think he needs to show that superstar form that some give him credit for being. If you expect to win by out-throwing the Chiefs, that's a dangerous game to play. It's a dangerous game to play considering the crowd, considering the environment, considering the communication issues that you're probably going to have up front at points, at times. Might want to lean on the run game. Might want to keep your defense off the field so they don't have to try to stop Pat Mahomes, who's literally been the most exciting NFL player through the first 6 weeks of the season. The dude converted a third down on the road with his left hand while Von Miller was chasing him. If you think Carlos Dunlap or Carl Lawson or Geno Atkins scares him, Von Miller was chasing him. He might be the best. He probably is the best pass rusher in the NFL. And Pat Mahomes was like, okay, I'm going to transition the ball from one arm to the other, flip it for a first down. You got to keep that guy off the field. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. I mentioned that the Bengals offense, they need to get Joe Mixon involved. Dan Hoard asked Dave Lapham on the Bengals Booth podcast. Again, I couldn't recommend this enough. Asked him, though, if the Bengals offense needs to score 30-plus to have a shot on Sunday.
Last, and if you don't have the ball last, you better allow Mahomes.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It's only 5 seconds with the football. I mean, clock management is going to be big. It was an issue, in my opinion, you know, letting Roethlisberger get the ball back. Didn't even make Pittsburgh burn timeouts. You know, snap the ball on the play clock with like 17 seconds, 22 seconds. And I don't care where you are on the football field in this day and age in the NFL. Offenses are so explosive. I don't care if you're on your side of the field or their side of the field. You have to start burning clock at the end. You have to treat two-minute drills like four-minute drills. You know, take all the clock and try to score points. I mean, it's unfortunate offenses have to think that big picture, but you do. And I think that's going to be the case in this football game. I think you have to be really, really smart with your clock management, Mahomes, and time of possession is going to be big. Limiting his possession number is going to be big. And the Kansas City defensive football team's, you know, not that good. They're 32nd in the league, dead last in yards allowed per game, first downs allowed per game. They're 27th in scoring. They give up 5.4 yards on the ground per rush, 31st in the NFL. Let Joe Mixon carry the football. Don't throw it 40 times and run it 15 or something like that. Don't do that. The Bengals threw the ball on first down 27 times and ran it twice last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What? And on one of those first downs, Joe Mixon runs, he busted one for 13 yards. Give Joe Mixon the football. Get it in his hands, either out of the backfield throwing it or let him run the football. You have to minimize opportunities for a guy as explosive as Patrick Mahomes, period. You just have to do it. And there's going to be a lot of game management, game within the game, of game management stuff in this one because both of these offenses are so dynamic.
There's going to be a lot of game management questions in this one. That's Dave Lapham talking to Dan Hoard on the Bengals Booth podcast. Look, if this team wants to win on Sunday, it's going to have to fix all of the issues. Marvin Lewis is going to have to fix all of the issues. You heard him right there. What were the biggest gripes? Well, Joe Mixon didn't get the ball enough. You didn't get a pass rush. You poorly managed the clock, and you weren't aggressive on fourth down. All four things need to change for you to have a chance Sunday in prime time. Also, the things that went well, Andy Dalton playing well, Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green showing up, those things need to continue to go well on Sunday. Everything needs to go right. Everything needs to go right. For more on the Chiefs, we'll go out to Kansas City coming up in about 15 minutes. Ryan Tracy going to join us. I'll talk to him about Pat Mahomes, the home field edge. I think Arrowhead Stadium is probably the best home field advantage in the NFL. Seattle's really, really good, and the 13th man, I lean Kansas City. I really do. What are you doing? The 12th man, whatever, the 13th man, yeah. Seattle's crowd was so good, it counted for two, Jimmy. It counted for two. But we will go out to Kansas City, get more on the Chiefs coming up in a bit. Plus, in 10 minutes, the national media, it's reaching again to condemn Vontaze Burfict. I'll discuss that. But first, I caught up with Jesse Bates in the Bengals locker room yesterday. I talked to him about a variety of things, including Vontaze Burfict, including going up against an offense like the Chiefs. If I'm Jesse Bates, I'd be excited. Pat Mahomes is going to throw it downfield. He's that deep safety that gets the roam back there. He's going to have a chance to make some plays. Here's my one-on-one interview with Bengals rookie Jesse Bates.
A few days since the game with the Steelers, how hard is it against any team to recover and move on from a loss that goes down to the wire like that?
Yeah, obviously those games are very tough to lose, especially when the defense has a lead going into that last final drive and we give up a touchdown. So obviously that's kind of hard for us to kind of swallow that pill, but the good thing about the NFL is we got another primetime game coming up this Sunday against Kansas City, and we can't just dwell on that loss right there. We got to come to play Sunday night.
Let's talk about Sunday night. Obviously, the Chiefs have one of the more exciting offenses in the NFL. They're led by Pat Mahomes. When you watch him, what stands out? What's unique about Mahomes?
He just can move. I mean, he's very athletic, and a lot of quarterbacks in this league are either, you know, strictly passing, and they're really good at, you know, reading defenses and can't really move as well. And he has both, and that's what I think is very special about him. He gets outside the pocket. I feel like that's when he makes more of his plays, when he's outside of the pocket rather than in the pocket. I just think that we got to eliminate the explosive plays. I think we need to force him to, you know, drive on us and, you know, have a complete drive, just because, I mean, if you watch film, those points come from explosive plays. And if we limit those, I think we'll be fine.
We're talking with Jesse Bates in the Bengals locker room. You mentioned those explosive plays. You being a free safety back there kind of roaming, is that exciting, knowing that they're going to take chances downfield, that maybe you'll get an opportunity or two to make a big play?
Yeah, I'm very excited for this game, but you never know. They can come out and, you know, ace and just run the ball the whole time. So you just got to prepare for both. And, you know, obviously I'm very excited to face an explosive offense like this.
Travis Kelce obviously stands out. He's probably the best or one of the best tight ends in the NFL. What makes him unique? What makes him special?
Like I said, with quarterbacks, I mean, tight ends, either you can run a route or you can block, and he can do both.
Yeah.
And he can do it very well. So that's what makes him special. And it's almost like a wide receiver. So when they're in ace personnel, it's pretty much like they're in Kings because they have another receiver out there, but he can also block. So that's what makes him special.
We're in the locker room with Jesse Bates. Now, this offense obviously putting up numbers. Going into this game, do you, as a defense, look at it and say, oh, we're going to give up points, knowing who we're going up against, we just have to limit them as much as possible?
I don't think we look at it like that. Obviously, we don't want to give up points, but we know the capability of this team. And, they may have an explosive play, but we just have to limit them to less.
Last question for you, Jesse. Vontaze Burfict is obviously known across the league. There's a lot of talk outside the locker room about him. How good is he as a linebacker, and what have you seen from him? I know you've only played two games with him, but what have you seen from Vontaze?
Yeah, I mean, he just knows the defense in and out. He's so smart, and he just makes things so much easier for me, just the communication-wise. Obviously, he's been doing this for a long time, and he plays very, very violent, and some people don't like that. And I'm glad that he's on our team.
Jesse, I appreciate the time. Good luck Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's Jesse Bates. He's my favorite Bengals defensive player. And the reason why is because he's quiet, soft-spoken, but when you talk to him, clearly knowledgeable, looks you in your eye when you're talking to him, and he goes out there and he balls. I mean, he plays at a high level. He does. He's played 6 games in the NFL. Sky's the limit for him. Second-round pick. That's what I would have expected from a first-round pick. He's the second-highest-rated safety among rookies, according to Pro Football Focus. He's only behind Derwin James, who was drafted 17th overall. Bates has played great, and he's left some plays out there. And the more comfortable he gets, the more experience he gets, it just seems like the sky's the limit for the rookie. He's certainly going to have opportunities on Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, I will be at Game Time on the West Side with Bud Light. We're going to have Bud Light specials and so much more. We'll give away Bengals tickets starting at 8 p.m. Join me as the Bengals. We can watch the Bengals shock the world. Speaking of the Bengals, we're going to continue to talk Bengals next. The national media is reaching when it comes to condemning Vontaze Burfict. We will discuss that and hear from Carlos Dunlap next. I'm James Erpine, and this is Cincy 360 on ESPN 1530.
Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. Great to be with you on a Thursday. There's a ton on the blog at ESPN1530.com, including my weekly podcast with Richard Skinner of Local 12 and Local12.com and Tony Pike, the Angry Quarterbacks podcast, posted right now on the blog at ESPN1530.com. I want to get into the ALCS and the replay and what happened yesterday with Mookie Betts and that, and I want to dive into that in a bit. So you'll hear from Carlos Dunlap this segment. We're going to go to Kansas City coming up in about 10 minutes. We're packed. Jimmy, I don't know how we're going to get all of this in between now and 1 o'clock. We're going to try, though, and we've talked a lot about Vontaze Burfict this week. A lot about Vontaze Burfict this week. And I've been looking at it as more his impact on the field. I get he's going to have some questionable hits. I've accepted that. That probably isn't going to change. But if he's going to have that, and he's going to put his availability in jeopardy, I need him to be great. My criticism of him this week is he hasn't been great in a while, and I need him to be great Sunday. That being said, I think the national media has gone overboard here. And one outlet in particular, ProFootballTalk.com, led by Mike Florio, and I'm reading here an article that they posted this morning. And the headline is, Vontaze Burfict's digital footprint shows a desire to inflict injury on Steelers players. And, you know, on Twitter, and I never really got this, but maybe now I do. There's so many, especially like television and really like good journalists. I feel like most journalists have at the back end of their Twitter bio, retweets and likes aren't endorsements. Right? They have that in their bio. Well, this article, and it's not super long, but they are mentioning Vontaze Burfict's likes. A Twitter user made this highly inappropriate observation on March 18th, talking to Vontaze Burfict on Twitter. And this is what they cite in the article. It says, quote, "You're going to be mad when Juju ends up like Shazier." The same user later posted a screenshot of Burfict pressing the like button. As to that sentiment, a reference to the serious neck injury Shazier suffered. Look, if we're really going to use someone's likes to say, oh, well, he's clearly trying to hurt Juju Smith-Schuster. Did he? When did Vontaze Burfict go after Schuster on Sunday? When did he? Hey, Jimmy, you watched every snap. You listened to Dan Horn and Dave Lapham caught right here in this studio. Was there ever a moment where Burfict went after Juju Smith-Schuster? No. The answer is no. So what the hell are we doing with, oh my God, Vontaze Burfict liked a tweet that was inappropriate. Okay, maybe he shouldn't like that.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Maybe he needs to pay attention more to what he likes and dislikes. But this, oh man, Perfect was clearly out to get Juju. You think if he wanted to hit Juju illegally, he wouldn't have had the opportunity? He was on the field with him from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Of course he had the opportunity. And so that's one thing. Two, national media like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he said, Juju, you're next. And these Steelers players whining. And that's what they're doing. Whining because Burfict said mean things to them. I rarely defend Vontaze Burfict. And I'm not going to defend him for hits after the whistle. I'm not going to defend him for dirty play. But trash talk on the field, trying to intimidate your opponent on the field, whatever said, for the most part, doesn't really bother me. Now, there are rare exceptions, and I'm not going to paint with a broad brush. Maybe there's something that was said. But everything I've heard that Burfict allegedly said, hey, Juju's next. Okay. All right. So this idea that Vontaze Burfict's tweets, and not even what he tweeted, but tweets that he liked, that means that that's what he was going to go out and do. If that was his intent, if that was the case, why wouldn't he have done it on Sunday? It makes zero sense. He was on the field with Smith-Schuster for literally 3 hours. He would have had an opportunity. He would have. If he wanted to go out of his way to make a hit, he would have. That's all I have to say about that. Like, that's a reach. That's what we call reaching. Pro Football Talk is reaching here. The headline just gets all of these people all over Burfict and builds it up. And then Burfict starts to hate the media even more. Marvin Lewis and the Bengals start to hate the media even more for something like this. Because everyone thinks, oh, everyone goes out of their way to mention Burfict and they treat him unfairly. I don't think Mo and I and Lance, I don't think most of us treat him unfairly. This is unfair. Vontaze Burfict's digital footprint shows a desire to inflict injury on Steelers players. If he wanted to inflict injury, he would have tried to inflict injury on Juju Smith-Schuster. He was out there for 3 hours with them. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. Speaking of injuries, the Bengals are injured. They're banged up. They're battered. Carlos Dunlap talked about their injuries and more in the Bengals locker room yesterday.
Some guys going to have to push through some stuff, as you've seen. Go back out there and do what you can.
So what do you think of Mahomes' arm?
Strong arm, can make all the throws, quick feet, can outrun some guys as well. So seems like a true dual threat.
Does he remind you of anybody with his style? I'm not asking to compare him to anybody.
No. He's got his own style, and the offensive plays they got is unique too. I haven't seen it on any level.
What makes their plays unique?
They got weapons at every position that they're trying to do this stuff, and they get everyone involved on every play. So, you know, they challenge your eyes with all their weapons, doing unique things that no other offense is doing. So, you know, you got to honor all three options that he has on every play.
At every level of the passing game, you're saying? I mean, he's got the weapons to attack in all levels, and Andy Reid's pretty good at designing a lot of ways to get to him.
Yeah, he's designed some pretty crafty plays that keeps all three of his weapons involved on every play, and you know they're trying to read which one's open on that play.
That's kind of obviously a tough assignment for a defense. You guys giving up a lot of yards, kind of in a tough stretch with losing guys going down.
It makes it harder, yeah, but you know. We got a 1A and 1B. Everybody trained to get in the football game because, you know, you're always one play away. You don't know when it is.
That after having no sacks last week, is that kind of a point of emphasis this week, pressure on him?
That's a point of emphasis every week, so it's no different than last week because it was definitely a point of emphasis last week as well. So it's the same, you know, throughout all 17 weeks of the season.
Talk about them getting the ball out so fast to negate the pass rush. Is that where you think you can be effective? Because usually those quick passes are shorter and lower, and you can disrupt with
you have opportunity, but you know they do a great variety of quick passes. You know, whether it be normal quick passes or you know behind the line scrimmage with screens or you know like the toss sweep type passes where it counts as a run, you know. They have a great creative offense.
Were you already out of the game last year in the preseason game when he came in?
Yeah, but I remember how fast he was, and I remember him making plays and, you know, him being talked about as being the future.
Facing that offense on Sunday Night Football, biggest TV show there is.
Yeah.
Your peers are watching. Do you relish the opportunity to, you know, try to shut that offense down?
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for us to display what we got as a defense, and, you know, they're going to try to put their offense on display, too, for the world.
So much is made of, especially outside of the locker room, of Vontaze Burfict, and there's so much discussion around him. How good of a linebacker is he, for those who are wondering?
Vontaze can be as great as he wants to be. And as you've seen up to this level, he's played as one of the best linebackers in the league. And I feel like he has that potential to be even better.
That's Carlos Dunlap in the Bengals locker room yesterday, talking with myself and other reporters. And look, Vontaze Burfict, and we let off the segment with Burfict. He could be as great as he wants to be, right? And I think that's just everyone would agree with that. Burfict has a very high ceiling on the football field. Sunday's such a great opportunity to show it. Sunday's such a great opportunity for people like Mike Florio and in national media that may not tune in for most Bengals games, that watched you hit Brown, a borderline hit, where people, a questionable hit that probably got you fined, that are calling for you to be banned from the game. It's a good way to play not only a clean game, but reach that ceiling. It's a good opportunity to show the world that you are one of the best linebackers in the NFL, and it'll be interesting to see if Vontaze Burfict can do that. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. I host the Locked On Bengals podcast, which you can subscribe to on the iHeartRadio app. Every show posted, it's a daily Bengals podcast, and every show is posted at ESPN1530.com. I caught up with Ryan Tracy on the latest edition of Locked On Bengals, and he covers the Chiefs in Kansas City, and I talked to him about a variety of topics, but I led off by asking Ryan about Patrick Mahomes, because I drafted Pat Mahomes in multiple fantasy leagues. So to my liking, he's balled out. He's the number one fantasy quarterback in the NFL through 6 weeks. And even so, I'm a bit surprised at how great he's been. I asked Ryan if he was surprised at how good Pat Mahomes has been the first 6 weeks of the season.
You know, he has surprised me. And I drafted him. I play Dynasty, and I drafted him in two leagues last year just to sit him for a year. And he's still blowing away all my expectations. I did a lot of scouting and work on him before he came out, and I expected the interceptions to be really approaching the level of the TDs. But he's cleaned up his game this year where he got sat behind Alex Smith, and he is firing on all cylinders at this point.
Ryan, what makes this offense so special? Obviously, Andy Reid's been around. He's a great offensive mind. I look across the board from Sammy Watkins, who I think is underrated, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. We talked about Pat Mahomes. Do they have a weakness on offense?
You know, the one weakness they have, and the Patriots kind of exposed it a little bit, is coordination. The recognition in both what Mahomes can see, and you saw that interception on Sunday Night Football, that was a well-disguised pseudo blitz where the linebacker dropped. And that's an area that even in college, Mahomes has had trouble picking up linebackers in the middle that just kind of sneak up on him. And he's thrown a lot of interceptions over his lifespan in that area. And so faking him out pre-snap a little bit can lead to some good things. But the other thing is the coordination. Sammy Watkins is playing well. He's obviously an athlete. He's still not 100% into the offense. There are times where disguised coverages can give him a little bit of fits, and the two of them need to be better on the same page. But that's really what I would do, and I think it worked out well for the Patriots as well.
Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs is with us. Ryan, I've looked at this matchup since really the beginning of the season, since the schedule came out, and I said, ooh, at Arrowhead, that's going to be tough. I know a lot of fans are worried about the prime time. I'm worried because it's on the road against a team that has probably the best home field advantage in the NFL. I know the Bengals were practicing, and they were pumping in crowd noise to kind of simulate what they're going to face in Kansas City. What is that home field edge like at Arrowhead?
You know, it's very difficult for the offense, that in particular. I mean, and honestly, anybody who's traveling to that game, you're going to know it by the time they sing the anthem, because it is a unique home field advantage. And when you travel to other stadiums, you know, and I travel around the AFC West quite often, when you get the fans to their loudest point, you know, they're up there in the 110 to 115 decibel range, right? And that's where warmups are in Arrowhead. They get into the 140s, and it's very difficult. I mean, tight ends can't hear line calls sometimes. That's just how big an advantage is. And particularly with this team, knowing the Kansas City fan base is pretty adept at paying attention to what their team needs from them. And this defense has been struggling all season. And they understand that if they can make their presence felt even more with the volume for an opposing offense, that's what they're keen to do. And they actually do a very good job with it.
Ryan, let's talk about that defense. And looking at this Chiefs team, obviously offensively, last week they score 40 points, lose the game at New England. They allow 43. Where is their weakness on defense? Why have they been giving up so many points? And do you think the Bengals can exploit that?
They defend the run fairly decent if you're running between the tackles. If you hit the edges on them, their linebackers are really the weakest point of this defense in terms of flowing to the outside. They can take on some blocks fairly well, but really the money's made off tackle against this defense. And even more so in the pass, these linebackers struggle. Even a guy named Terrence Smith, who is the nickel linebacker they're using right now in order to try to get some improved coverage, even he's struggling against covering backs out of the backfield. So if you can get the swings, the flats, moving those guys around, that particular coverage level is different for this defense really every week. And furthermore, farther down the middle, the Chiefs are going to be working. They started their number five safety last week. Looks like he'll get another start. But unless Eric Berry can return to this defense, the safety position, the deep middle, is always going to be accessible. And it's something that they have to try to scheme around. They're trying every young guy they can get to try and see who can start making a difference. And you may see some of that against the Bengals as well. Josh Shaw has recently joined this team. They're going to try him out as well, along with a guy named Jordan Lucas. So those are the two to watch.
We're familiar with Josh Shaw for sure. Ryan, when you look at this Bengals team, obviously they have some weapons. They're also pretty banged up dealing with injuries. John Ross is a guy I expect to play this week. Do you think he could have a big difference on Sunday night?
Well, you know, I'll say in particular because I am a big Washington guy. I have done a lot of scouting with over the years at that particular school, and I think John Ross is unique. And you've seen, unfortunately, that the health pattern, but he still has that over-the-top speed that not only can he just break long, but I like him underneath out of the slot. I think his lateral agility is something to beware as well. And the Chiefs basically run both Orlando Scandrick and Kendall Fuller are really nickel corners. So that kind of lateral explosion game, I think they're okay with. It's once you turn the corner and get behind them. So I think that presence of Ross will be missed because I think he has the ability to do that and can stretch a defense, again, towards the safety position that is really the weakness of this defense.
Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs is with us here on the Locked On Bengals podcast. Ryan, let's flip roles a little bit. You know this Chiefs team very, very well. If you had to prepare for them and you're the Bengals, what would you try to do offensively, and what would you try to do defensively to come out and have success on Sunday night on the road against a 5-1 Kansas City team?
You know, on offense, I would start it heavily with Mixon, and I would rely on kind of the power game, downhill running right off of the tackles. I would pull guards if you think they can get cross blocks in there. I would run the fullback some. I think you guys have a fullback, don't you? And quite honestly, the counter game is something that these particular linebackers they're keen to try and pursue. So you can get them flowing the wrong direction. And I think that's something that could pay off as well. On defense, you know, that's a difficult one. You can't flush Pat Mahomes and hope that he's going to, you know, be off his mark and somehow lose his performance. He's actually better outside of the pocket. I think what you can try to do is play a little bit more mixed coverage. If you can play man on one side and some open zone on the other, try to disguise that. I think that will give you a little bit of advantage, or at least a hope of keeping the Chiefs under 35 points. It's very, very difficult, I will tell you that. And if you do, you're going to get a heavy dose of Kareem Hunt. The offensive line is a bit of a patchwork. So I think there's two guys that are likely to start against the Bengals that are replacements. And I think if you can get some penetration in that A gap, particularly on the right-hand side of the offense, left side of the defense, I think you're going to be in good shape.
That's Ryan Tracy, host of Locked On Chiefs. He joined me on the Locked On Bengals podcast. That entire thing on my blog right now at ESPN1530.com. I'm James Erpine, and this is Cincy 360. Up next, let's discuss what the hell happened in the ALCS yesterday. A home run that shoulda, coulda, woulda been, wasn't. We'll discuss that, and we'll hear from Dave Lapham during Quick Hits next. I'm James Rapine. This is ESPN 1530.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
I'm James Rapine. Mo back at it today at 3:05. He's going to be joined by former Bearcat, current Kansas City Chief. I almost said Cincinnati Chief. Kansas City Chief Travis Kelce going to be on the show as will be a bunch. I mean, he's loaded. Look, on Thursdays, loaded. Jay Morrison of The Athletic joins him. He'll get his best bets of the week for Brandon Lang at BrandonLang.com. And, of course, my hottest takes of the week coming at you in 4 hours in 44 minutes. Before we get to Quick Hits, let's discuss yesterday's ALCS matchup, Game 4. First, before we get to the home run that was a home run that suddenly wasn't a home run that got ruled and out, and I don't know how you can hit a home run and end up it getting out without the guy catching the ball, which we will discuss in a second. Shout out to Andrew Benintendi, who had a diving catch, Cincinnati zone, hauls it in, ends the game for the Red Sox. They take a 3-1 series lead, just one victory away from advancing to the World Series. So congratulations to Andrew Benintendi on a hell of a play to end the game with the bases loaded. That being said, Jimmy Sandy, I have no idea what the hell is going on. In the first inning, Mookie Betts goes up, and he goes to make a play, and it looks like he might be able to make the play. But the ball is clearly over the wall. And they rule fan interference, and then they go to the replay and rule fan interference again, and so Altuve's out. I can't have that in the ALCS. Altuve hits a home run. It would have been a two-run shot, by the way. The Astros lost by a whopping two runs. The ball is over the wall. Mookie Betts, who I'll give Mo credit, said was the best player in Major League Baseball, goes up to make a play. There's a fan behind the home. I think it's clear based on the replay. He's behind the wall, and he goes to catch the home run. And the fan's hand behind the home run wall, again, I can't stress that enough, makes contact with Betts' glove. And we just assume, because that's what this is doing, when you're assuming that Betts was going to make the play. They call Altuve out. It cost the Houston Astros two runs. And I'm not saying it cost them the game. I don't know. The game goes completely different. I know that. Momentum changes. And the last thing I want is a big game like this, decided by instant replay, if you're not going to come out with a better angle. You're not going to come out with the correct call or a 100% conclusion. Here's my problem with this. Back when I was growing up, I used to go to a place called Park Place Park. There were fences. We would play baseball there for hours and hours and hours, and then I would go get a drink of water, eat some lunch, and then we would go play baseball for hours and hours and hours. This would have been solved better at Park Place Park than it would have been in the ALCS with replay and all of these fancy cameras and the umpires. Whether it was a do-over, whether it was a ground rule double, something. How in the hell is the batter out? How can you just assume that Betts was going to make the catch? I get it. Fan interference. Well, oh, dumb rule then. You got to change the rule because he was behind the wall, and I'm reading here. And the rule says this. No interference shall be allowed when a fielder reaches over a fence, railing, or rope. Betts is reaching over. Ken Griffey Jr. in his prime style, over the wall to bring the ball back in. He might have been able to do it, but I'm not sure if he would have. So to me, that should be a minimum of a home run or a ground rule double. I don't know how in the world Altuve's out. It's assuming that Betts was going to make the play, and that's what I hate about this. You can't assume that that's going to happen. And it reminds me of the NFL. For years and years, we've criticized them for instant replay, and they don't know what a catch is, but you would have been able to solve it when you were 10 years old at the park on what a catch is and what it isn't. That's what this is. Was it over the fence or was it not? Okay. it should be something. The last thing that should happen is the batter is out. And yet he was. Astros down 3-1 in the ALCS. Andrew Benintendi, congrats to him. That was a huge, it was a hell of a catch for the 24-year-old who is from Cincinnati. Went to Madeira High School. And now he's on one game away, at least, from the game's biggest stage.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Here we go. Here's a tweet. Those fan hands were in the field of play. They reach forward and beyond the yellow border at the top of the wall, then make contact with his glove to close it before the ball. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. He should not be out. He shouldn't be out. If no one was there, there was no one in the ballpark, is it anything better? Are the odds any better than a 50-50 that Betts makes that catch? How many times, Jimmy Sandy, and you watch plenty of baseball, you're a Cleveland Indians fan, have you seen an outfielder, even the best defensive outfielders, go up for a ball over the wall, and they're right there, and they're unable to haul it in? Sometimes they do, but that's like a 50-50. You love that they're in position and they have that skill set, but there's no way, I can't assume, oh yeah, that fan wasn't there, Betts is making that play. Ugh, I hate that call. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. Red Sox lead 3-1. Brewers lost to the Dodgers yesterday in the NLCS. That's all knotted up at two games apiece. John Ross practiced in full yesterday. He practiced today. Could be a benefit to the Bengals this Sunday. Deshaun Watson reportedly played with a partially collapsed lung. And the reason I put this in quick hits is over the past 2 weeks or so when the Bengals' injuries have piled up, I've gotten a lot of, these guys need to suck it up and play. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I don't want to hear one fan ever say, oh, that guy needs to suck it up and play. It's insane to me. Deshaun Watson playing with a partially collapsed lung. He shouldn't have been playing. Obviously, he didn't know that at the point. By the way, he was a full-go in practice yesterday, and I think he's going to play for Houston this week. They need to stop letting him get hit so much, or they're going to ruin what is a very promising young career. NBA is back. My Heat lost yesterday to the Orlando Magic. Mo's Knicks won. LeBron James makes his Lakers debut tonight in Portland against the Trailblazers at 10:30. Trailblazers favored in that one. And the NFL is reportedly worried about the Chargers in L.A. I could have told you that 3 years ago. I visited my friend in Los Angeles, asked multiple residents of L.A. if they wanted an NFL team. They laughed and said no. Now you have two. Of course, at least one isn't going to get the attention you thought it would. Should have thought about that NFL. It wouldn't have taken long to do the research. And the Nintendo Entertainment System came out 33 years ago today. We all owned a Nintendo, right? I did. Heck, I owned a Nintendo. I still have my Super Nintendo. I had a Nintendo Classic. I have a Super Nintendo Classic. I got all of them. Old school games are the best games. Mo back at it today at 3:05, a ton on the blog at ESPN1530.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm James Erpine. The Stephen A. Smith Show is next right here on ESPN 1530.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.